Hello, everyone. Thank you for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with...
I'm John Houlihan. I'm the creative lead and line editor on the Acton Cthulhu RPG.
Thank you, John, for taking the time again to talk to us about Acton Cthulhu. I'm very excited what 2024 has in store for this IP. So, wow, where should we get started? You have a bunch of new adventures and a new starter set. Let's talk about the starter set first, because I'm really excited about it, because although, in my opinion, when I tell people, hey, you want to play a game where we could play something of a combination of Indiana Jones and you're fighting like the Red Skull and Hydra with Cthulhu lurking about, not a hard sell. Most of my friends, when I mentioned it for the first time, they were very eager to try it out. But I'm still glad for the starter set, because I don't know, I just love box sets. I love I love anything that has quick references, dice, and a good adventure that I could take with me to conventions to try out for anyone that's very interested about the system.
Let me just reach back here and I'll show you and your viewers the very first one that rolled off the presses from China. This is the production sample, which I'm the very proud owner of. You can kind of see it there. And yeah, you know, it's Acton Cthulhu's sort of second anniversary last September, but we really wanted to, you know, bring, you know, we've got a sort of quite established set of fans, but you're absolutely right. Nothing kind of, you know, one of our big aims for this year is to kind of expand the audience a little bit further. And you did a very good job of selling the RPG there as a sort of kind of rip-roaring, pulp-influenced series of thrilling adventures. And you're right, you know, there's nothing, although I love digital products, there's nothing quite like having something in your hands to, you know, introduce people. And of course, it's, you know, as you say, it's a great way of kind of bringing people into the fold, introducing them to the world and giving them some fun stuff to feel in their hands, right?
Indeed. So let me ask you this, as a creative lead, when someone says to you, hey, I want to make a starter set, where does your mind go? Because I would think that you want to create items that may make good introductory doorways into Acton Cthulhu. How does one prepare for something like that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, actually, and it's you're right. You know, the first thing it's got to do is kind of just really hit people with a bang. That's what I always think. You've got to open strongly and kind of, you know, introduce people to the world, the setting, the kind of characters that would inhabit such a pulp world, the villains, some of the alien creatures. So it's got to kind of tick a lot of boxes in terms of intriguing people and making them, you know, immediately go, wow, I love this world, and then I want to find out more about it. But of course, you know, as well as a kind of creative side to things, there's a technical side of things as well. There's only so many components you can fit in a box, and you also you've got to kind of have it in the back of your mind that I always start with the framing, whether it's I'm writing book or making a book for Acton Cthulhu or anything really. You've got to kind of start with the frame, and the frame for me as well, it sounds very perhaps a little boring, but it's that that price point, which is a kind of way of thinking about things. So it's a £30 set. So, you know, if you go along to a convention, you kind of see the artwork and stuff, and you think, oh, that's quite an intriguing sort of scenario. That sounds an interesting world. Oh, and I can pick it up for £30. That's a real, you know, incentive to get on board with the thing. So it's a marriage of the creative and the technical and the production. And also, you know, that sort of wow factor to kind of introduce people to the world and keep them, hook them into it, and then make them want to find out more once they've, give them a great experience, and then make them want to find out more, hopefully after they've played through the first adventure.
So what's in the box?
What's in the box? Well, I will start with we've got a sort of stripped down basic rule set. So just like 16 pages of rules, really quick and easy to understand and absorb. but will give you kind of everything you need to, you know, get started as a GM. Bit of player advice and guidance in there too. We've got a thrilling three-part, 60-page starter campaign called Among the Wolves, which takes you from the beaches of Dunkirk all the way to the heart of an alien hive city. So you get to embrace the organisations and see some of the get introduced to some of the characters, some of the villains, some of the antagonists, as well as getting a feel for the world itself. Plenty of advice written by an excellent chap at Modiphius called Ben Maunder. And there's also plenty of advice inside for first-time GMs. So, you know, it takes you through the first thing is like a kind of, you know, a very simple skill test to build some barricades. And then by the end, you're piloting strange drilling machines through underground cities and visiting tunnels and all that kind of thing. So, it's a sort of thrilling, rip-roaring adventure to give you a real sort of taste of the world of Acton Cthulhu. Next up, we've got some lovely, we've got three of these lovely double-sided battle maps and encounter maps. And they are done by a great chap called Glyn Seal from Monkey Blood Design, any award-winning map maker, and he always does a fantastic job on producing work for us. He's our main cartographer on Acton Cthulhu. There's another little view of stuff there. If you don't mind that, they're full hands-on things. So we've got these three nice double-sided maps. And there's the final one here, which is, it might go too spoilery, but I'll show you that side of it. The other side is a giant alien super weapon on a pyramid. So, you know, some quite interesting stuff there. We've also got a set of double-sided token sheets. So these include everything you'll need to play for a play if the adventure through, your six agents, there's some threat and momentum tokens on there. You can see at the bottom. So that's the sort of heroes token side. And then the villains token side, you've got sort of everything from basic German troops to Black Sun troopers, masters. And there's even down in the bottom there, there's not quite for this set because it'd probably be a bit too hard, but little Cthulhu himself. And each set also will come with like a full digital component. So if you want to, you know, use them in VTTs yourself, then good stuff indeed. So we've also got these six lovely pre-generated agent sheets, double-sided, so you can record your adventures. We've got a good variety of starting agents of various archetypes and persuasions and skills, and a good nice balanced group for up to six players there. We also have a set of six quick reference sheets, also sort of player focus there. So just a quick summary of the rules so you can, I'm not finding it easy to get these in focus. Quick summary of the rules so you can sort of see what you need and all that kind of stuff. If you just need a quick reminding of how skill tests or threat and momentum work. And then finally, we have a very cool, might be a little bit difficult to see here, but I'll just hold it up to the camera a little bit. That's an Elder Sign dice set, which is exclusive to the starter set. Translucent green when you hold it up to the light. I don't know if it's possible to see that, but a very nice set there. And then finally, we have the box itself, which doubles as a GM screen, which is kind of cool. So you just slide it on like that, and you can roll your dice in it and all kinds of things. So, yeah, and that's a quick whiz through the starter set and all the components. And that's available on pre-order now. We've got a new website called actoncthulhu.com where you can have a look at all the stuff, and then that will hopefully lead you into embracing the sanity challenging terrors of Acton Cthulhu.
Oh, that's great! I love that. You can make actually the box. Usually the box is, although usually very very pretty, Usually it's just yeah. there just to hold the items. And I love that you actually incorporated that into the to play as well. That's really intriguing.
yeah, it's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So the let's talk a little bit just real briefly about the adventure in the box set. It's because I'm curious what the because it's you could choose almost. I mean, the setting alone, if it was just like World War II, the setting alone, you could go almost anywhere in the world. And and I'm just curious, like what you had in mind and what horrors may contain in it as well.
Well, we set it in Dunkirk in 1939, or just sort of on the outskirts of that, because we thought it'd make a good kind of starting place for new players. You know, the war's just sort of begun. It's also nicely placed within the timeline of existing material. So we've got a great big campaign called Shadows of Atlantis, which sort of plays out pre-war. And then our free quick start, which is now available as part of a quick start free quick start pack, is called A Quick Trip to France, and that sort of follows on, you know, maybe a month or two later. So it's nicely placed in the timeline, and it also kind of just made a good sort of starting point. Your players begin with no knowledge at all about the secret war that underpins Act and Cthulhu's meta story. And this is sort of gives them their first taste, first revelations of the hidden conflict going on beneath the surface of World War II. So it starts in Dunkirk. I'll give you a very, very brief overview. And you have to eventually work your way through the ruins of Dunkirk to investigate reports of a strange new German organization which appears to be seeking occult artifacts and strange tomes, and eventually you discover that they are part of an organization known as the Black Sun, who are one of our main villains within the setting. Following that, you have to do a little bit of sneaking and infiltration. You actually have to steal some uniforms and find your way into a Black Sun camp itself, learn a little bit more about them from the inside. But you also learn that there's another organization called Nachtwolf, or the Night Wolves, who, although they're supposed to be allies of these Black Sun guys, they're actually intense rivals. And when you peer a bit deeper into the lore, if you hopefully go on to see the GM guide and stuff, you realize that these two guys are in strict sort of there's a big rivalry between them as they try and battle for supremacy. Beyond that, there's a few more battles, a few more encounters, and eventually you discover that these guys are searching underneath an old tunnel network, which is to the west of Dunkirk, and that takes you on a journey through these seemingly abandoned tunnels to the heart of a hive city, which introduces one of the non-human antagonists, should we say, of the secret war. I'm sure people know about the Migo. And there's a climactic finish. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a climactic finish where you will be racing through these tunnels, battling Black Sun, Nachtwolf, the Migo, all kinds of things in a truly sort of epic finale.
For anyone that plays the starter set, what would you recommend as the next great adventure, I guess the next source book to pick up?
Well, I would probably say if you really love the starter set, you could go back and do Shadows of Atlantis, which is a big pre-war campaign. You know, the great thing about pulp is that you could do it in, you know, it's like, and it's a flashback to your great introduction to the thing, which is a really, you know, it's designed as a sort of globe-spanning starter campaign. If you wanted something really big and epic to play through. But there's a ton of missions sort of scattered around the early part of the war, standalone mission releases that you could do as well. Things like there's Quick Start, Operation Ultimatum, sort of smaller little encounters. And then the next big, the sort of next big formal campaign book would be The Serpent and the Sands, which takes place during North Africa in 1941. And that's another kind of more, it's like for slightly more experienced ages, but still a sort of, you know, early war career for players. But yeah, I might do this one and then do the quick start and then sort of maybe have mix in a few missions and then see if and when your agents are ready to take on a full campaign, which is always interesting.
Is there anything else about the story set that you wanted to share before we talk about the new adventure source books?
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, just really, I'd love people to go out and try it. You know, it's available on pre-order, as I say now. We start shipping in April worldwide, so 16th of April, that's the release date. If you order now, it'll probably ship out on that day. And if you want to see more, we've got a dedicated new site called actumcthulhu.com. So just drop by there and see what you think, and hopefully we can welcome you into the family.
Let's talk about Unexplored.
Yes.
So it's a new adventure source book. Now, wow, I guess first things first, what can you tell us about what this is exactly?
Oh, sure. Well, I'll just show you the cover there. This is the new book. It's a sort of softback, about 150 pages. And it sort of first came about when I was designing the Serpent and the Sands source book. There's a sequence in that, there's a chapter in that where the agents get lost in the desert, and they have to, you know, it's a classic kind of Ice Cold in Alex scenario where you have to find your way out of the desert, you know, the deep desert, and get back to civilization or your base without, with minimal supplies and using your ingenuity. I thought rather than design a sort of linear narrative for this, we'd kind of go for something that would randomly generate desert encounters, challenges, Easter eggs, you know, little side diversions that you might take on such a journey. And I thought that worked really well. So I thought, well, if it works well for the desert, it surely would work for other scenarios. And had a chat with some of the guys who, you know, help run Actum Cthulhu with me. And we started talking about that red line concept from Indiana Jones again, you know, where you kind of, there's a big adventure and then there's a red line traveling all the way to the to the next bit. And we just kind of thought it might be an interesting idea to see what would happen during that red line rather than just jump from one to the other. So it expands from that original desert idea to take in jungle, plains, mountains, all those different kind of biomes, as we call them, that your agents might travel through. So there is a sort of survival aspect to it, but there's also loads of encounters and creatures and all that kind of stuff to help the GM kind of add a little bit of flavor and narrative to those things that you normally just run through. Mm. Each biome as well has got like up to four different locations within it as well, sort of major locations. So the jungle biome's got a classic temple where strange cultists are worshipping something unpleasant, and there's a doorway to other dimensions through them. So you could use that as a culmination of a travel or a little bit of diversion along the way. Or you could, you know, just simply randomly generate on the fly a complete kind of adventure for your agents as they travel.
So this is exciting because, and I'm not sure why, I have to really think about what's the psychology behind it. Some of the fans' favorite adventures are the ones that you travel from one place of the world to another, to another, to another to solve the big mysteries. And yeah. There's some, and I don't know, maybe it's the fact that every session or every chapter is like a different setting, you know, so it's like almost like it's almost like playing a different game almost because you're in a totally new environment for your characters. What type of research went into all these settings being put together?
Well, I think it was just a case of marrying, you know, thinking like what challenges, for example, would be in a high mountain environment. So, you know, there's altitude sickness, there might be snow, then, you know, there's obviously probably a greater, greater chance of rock fall or sliding down, you know, or missing your step and falling down a gully or something like that. It was mainly written by an excellent writer called Jason Brick, using the structure from the original. He actually wrote the original Serpent and the Sand. So I think he just literally just researched lots of different biomes and environments and then tailored the challenges and Easter eggs and encounters to each particular environment. And then, of course, you want to kind of try and add a little bit of Actual Cthulhu weirdness into it, so it's not just enemy troops, but creatures might live in that environment, or and especially locations that would be suitable for that environment. So I'll just have a quick flick into the book and see where we. I'll just pick a random page. Ah, so here we got. This is an interesting one. This is for the forest biome, and I'll just read you the intro to the Great Tree, which is a location. In the deeply wooded places of the world, a series of standing stones of white granite can be found with similar formations scattered in parallel woodlands across the globe. They're weathered more than most, but not one iota of lichen, moss, or other life grows upon them. These stones are connected to one another by the darkest and most ancient of magic and to the outer dark. Those who know how to use them can travel great distances in the blink of an eye, but there's a price to pay, and those who do so without protection rarely survive the experience. Sorry, that was Circle of Lives, not the Great Tree, which is the map on the opposite page. So that was just like a forest location that Jason came up with, and there's a few adversaries there who sort of live there, and they're basically a transport point which you can use to go around the globe. But it's as he mentions, the travel is not always as straightforward as it seems.
In your other adventure source books, I noticed that usually divided into two major sections. There's the player section, so that has all the player options and gives you information about the setting. And after a bit, sometimes I get fooled because it's so complete that then I go to the second section, which is the campaign. I'm like, oh, there's more. You know, is unexplored similarly designed?
No, I would say this is kind of a lot more GM focused. It's more like a GM's tool, really, just to. There are a few little odd bits of equipment and items here and there, but it's mainly aimed at GMs just to help them, because we actually did it during testing. We just sort of roll up a few results, and you know, you travel for the first day and everything's fine, and then suddenly the weather sets in and it makes your survival tests more challenging, and then you find yourself being stalked by something strange. You're not sure what it is, and it gives GMs that kind of instant palette to sort of really shape a narrative. I think it's definitely inspiration, but it's not player focused. This one, there's not really much of anything for players in this. It's more GMs who are going to benefit from. Well, players will obviously benefit from the adventures, but it's more firmly focused at GMs to help them out a bit.
Okay. And this is a complete adventure. You don't need anything beforehand besides, of course, the player's guide and the game master's guide.
Yeah. No, it just runs with the core books, and you can even mix and match biomes. So you might say your journey of a week starts 3 days are plains, and then the plains give way to hills or mountains or forests, and then they revert to plains again, and you can map a 7-day journey through this, and all the different encounters that you might have. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting, it's a little experimental. I suppose it's a bit like some of the exploration things people do, but we just thought it would be an interesting and kind of different take to offer this as something for GMs to make their lives a little bit easier.
Mm. And you have another adventure source book.
Yes.
What can you tell us about this one?
Okay, so yeah, so coming up we have something called D-Day, The Darkest Day. It's the 80th anniversary of D-Day this year. And we've sort of had this one in our back pockets for a little while. But it sort of made, I think it made sense to sort of release it round about the same time. This is another traditional big campaign, 200 page plus, big campaign book, a little bit of guide, featuring the sort of weapons, equipment, vehicles and creatures that you would you'll need for running D-Day campaigns. And then the second part is a 12 episode, well, it's kind of three part, 12 episode campaign, which you can run as certainly run as one continuous adventure, or you could kind of dip in and out of, maybe run one or two from the first section. The middle section is a sort of more strongly narratively linked with four adventures. And then the final section, The Darkest Day, is sort of based firmly around D-Day. And that's like six adventures with all the various super weapons and strange devices Nachtwolf developed to try and thwart the invasion. And a finale with a Black Sun prior and his fiendish plot to thwart the invasion. The first part is kind of pre-invasion, so sort of a little bit of the phony war before the actual full invasion started. The second arc is called Down with the Deep Ones, which is gives you a chance to sort of meet the Deep Ones and be transformed into Deep One hybrids and go and experience an entire underwater campaign as hybrid Deep Ones as you try and win them over and prevent them interfering in the invasion, because they get a bit annoyed with the allies at one point, falsely it turns out. They get a bit annoyed with the allies, so you've got to kind of try and persuade them not to interfere with the main part of Operation Overlord. It's a bit different, but it's quite fun. I particularly enjoyed that one, written mainly by a chap called Brad Bell. And it's kind of quite a fun little diversion, should we say.
Mm. Sounds very tense as well. Do you know how big the book will be? Is it as big as Shadows of Atlantis?
Yeah, it's probably not quite as long as Shadows. It's looking to set it around about 200 pages, this one, and I would say probably about 25% of it is guide content and about 75% of it is adventures. One thing we're sort of a little bit conscious of is, big campaigns are fantastic, but they do take a little bit of stamina, on the part of players to keep going back to the main thing. So the middle one is four linked missions, but the pre-invasion and the Darkest Day arcs, you could dip in and out of, you could run one or two out of them, or you could absolutely run all of them continuously. The Darkest Day, particularly, those missions are quite challenging, I'd say, because it's a sort of late war arc. Not to say they couldn't be done, but by less experienced players. But those are for sort of more established characters, should we say? Although there's a few allies to help you out if you really need be, but they're kind of quite fun. It's sort of the head of the Nachtwolf technical division, Kraft Heinberg. It's his super weapons like rockets and artillery guns and strange robotic kind of mechs that he tries to develop to stop the invasion on the beaches. But hopefully with the brave agents of Section M and Majestic and the Resistance, they'll be thwarted.
Now, does this book have a player section, like, you know, for like options and new technology, things like that?
Yeah, there's not so many kind of career advancements options, should we say, in this, but there's a whole bunch of fun new stuff to experience. Everything from mundane little things like that little D-Day, that little clicker that the paratroopers used on D-Day to identify themselves, but a whole haul of new top secret weapons and equipment to kind of help you in the battle for Normandy. Authentic stuff too, like the Airspeed Horsa glider, which with rules for sort of insertion via glider. And we've got some tank variants, like there was a bunch of ones called Hobart's Funnies, which were sort of modified tanks that had very particular roles on D-Day. They looked a bit odd, but they actually performed very well. I mean, there was even like a Sherman DD, which got nicknamed the Donald Duck, which was a swimming tank. So it had this great big skirt, air skirt, and a couple of propellers that would allow it to sort of swim onto the invasion beaches. So there's quite a few fun new things like that, as well as sort of more out there secret weapons of the secret war that we reckon would be used on D-Day. So yeah, there's quite a few new weapons, vehicles, tools of the trade, and stuff like that for players to use.
Mm. Oh, so before we wrap up, do you know when the dates of release for each of these products will happen?
Yeah, sure. Unexplored's already out, so you can buy that off the Modiphius store right now. The starter set is on pre-order as of now, and starts shipping on the 16th of April, 2024. And D-Day will be on or around the 6th of June, 2024. So plenty to look forward to, and we'll, you know, keep an eye on the Modiphius site and actoncthulhu.com, because we'll try and compile all the information there for you if you're interested.
Excellent. Well, John, thank you again for taking the time to talk to us about your products. Very excited about all of them. And to our viewers, I will put links in the description below. And yes, everyone, thank you for watching. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time.